Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And tonight I want to preach on the simple thought, breathe easy. A word of prayer and you can be seated. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. I thank you again for all what we've heard and just prayed for already. I pray you bless the dear folks in the prayer list. I pray you be with the new ones mentioned. I pray you be with those as well. God, I pray you be with those who are ill. Help them. I think for our country, our nation, I pray for this coronavirus issue to be ended quickly, Lord. I pray you help bless the churches across this country, Lord. I pray you protect them. And it certainly is not an ideal time for them, Lord, but I pray you help them, give them wisdom. I pray you to protect them, keep them. Churches, the doors open, Lord, and since they do not close their doors permanently, when this is all said and done, I pray they would not be affected too harshly from this. And I pray you protect the churches, Lord. We love you and thank you. Now, all else we ask in your name, amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right. In times like these, with the coronavirus looming over our heads, it's very easy, I believe, to lose our perspective, to lose our spiritual focus. It's easy to get caught up in fear. And when that happens, people usually freeze, they panic, they're not thinking straight. It's easy to get caught up in any one or a number of those things that I mentioned. So this evening, I want to kind of spend a few minutes to remind us on how to keep our focus or how to breathe easy, as the title of the message says. And I'm going to focus mainly on verse 6, and you can probably see why I use the phrase breathe easy. In verse 6, it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So let me give you a few things, or practical things, I hope to help you during this time. Things are just going to be a blessing, hopefully, Lord willing. So number one, let me say this. Number one, the first thing to mention to help you breathe easier during this time is don't change anything. Don't change anything. If you are in this room, there is one thing that you did before the coronavirus pandemic came here on our land. There's one thing you continue to do while the coronavirus is here, and that same exact thing you will do after the coronavirus is over. And that one thing you have done, are doing, and will do is breathing. We're all going to inhale. We're all going to exhale through all this. That will not change. And spiritually speaking, you can use the same mentality. Things to do that just you do not want to change during this time when it's so easy to get caught up, or your normal routine is out of whack, and things that you don't normally do. So let me give you some, again, practical things to help you, some things that you might have already heard preached or said to keep you sharp spiritually speaking. So let me give you a first thing. Number one, continue your daily regular devotions. So the matter of don't change anything, continue your daily regular devotions. Go to Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. You will. Genesis 4, verses 1 to 5. So again, it's a matter of don't change anything. Continue your daily regular devotions. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, please, if you would. I'll give you a second to find it. It says here, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel unto his offering. And then in verse 5, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Most of you are aware of the story here in the book of Genesis with Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel were the first two children born from Adam and Eve's union there. And I believe that Adam and Eve, as well as Cain and Abel, understood the necessity and the procedure for animal sacrifices. Because now you understand there is sin now. Genesis 4, sin has entered the land. So sin's got to be dealt with. And back in Genesis 3, verse 21, when God clothed Adam and Eve with those animal coats there, or the animal skins there, that's evidence that God sacrificed or killed animals. So I believe animal sacrifices already were instituted by the time Genesis 4 is here. Why? Because there is sin, and sin has got to be dealt with there. And so I believe they understood that God requested an animal sacrifice. Nothing else would do. Having said that, Abel, he brings his sacrifice, an animal sacrifice. God is pleased with that. But Cain, he was not pleased with his sacrifice. Why? Because Cain diverted from what God wanted him to do. He diverted from what God wanted him to do. Now, you're probably saying, how does this have to do with regular devotions? What does this have to do with my devotions? Well, just like those regular necessary offerings and sacrifices in the Old Testament, we're also supposed to have regular necessary devotions. Regular devotions on a regular daily basis. Folks, listen, we're supposed to read our Bibles and pray. They're there to help us and bless us. Psalm 119, verse 11 says this, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." God's word is designed for our benefit, our protection. We should stay in the Bible. Now look at Cain. He knew to bring the right sacrifice or the right offering. He didn't bring it. Now, if you're in Genesis 4, look at verse 6 to 7. This is the result. What God says to him, because he brought the wrong offering or because he did not do what he was supposed to do. Genesis 4, verses 6 to 7 says this, "And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." What does God say? He says, listen, he says, Cain, if you do well, if you do what you're supposed to do, you're going to be blessed. God says again here, "If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted." Shalt thou not be accepted, where the wording goes, or you will be accepted, what God is saying there. But if you don't do well, if you divert from what God wants you to do, then that's when sin is waiting for you. Now just think about that for a second. He didn't do what he was supposed to do, a regular, daily, regular routine that God instituted for them to do. He did not do it. And God says, because you're not doing that regular, daily thing you're supposed to do, because of that reason, sin's lying at the door waiting to take you over. The point I'm trying to make, my friend, is simply this. Stay in your devotions. That's a regular routine that God asks of us to do. And my fear is, as I mentioned so many times, when we get out of our regular routine, and this coronavirus issue has caused many people to get out of that routine, not by their own fault, but if we're not careful, we'll get out of those important things, out of our regular devotional life. You know, if you're watching live stream right now, or if you're in this room, you've been on Facebook before, or been on the Grace Baptist Church page there, you probably have seen there a post there, a little picture of seven or eight different things, a little, I guess, picture. And on the picture, the title of the picture was this, "How to Attend Church Online." How to attend church online. Some of you might have read that, know what I'm talking about. But this really fits well for the message tonight. There were some things to do when, hey, listen, if you're live streaming, some things that may help to you, again, to get in a regular routine, because I know the routine should be in the house of God, but because of the mandate, we can't be there. So here's some things to help you get in a good, solid routine. Number one, get out of bed and get dressed. I know that miffs some of you folks who want to be in your pajamas Sunday morning watching the message there, but why would that help me? Man, it puts you in the right mindset. Last time I checked, not many people come to church in their pajamas. I remember, I think one person did that one time. That was kind of weird. But usually, get out of bed and get dressed. Keep in the right mindset. Go through your normal Sunday routine, meaning just like you were coming to the church house, if you ate breakfast before you came to church, if you did your devotions before coming to church, do all those things that you normally do before you go to live stream church there. Number three, gather together as a family. Again, as a family, people usually come to church, do the same thing live streaming. If you're in your living room right now, or in a den, or a back room where the computer's at, hey, gather around as a family. Why? Because you keep, again, that routine, if you would. And by the way, don't multitask. I was talking to a brother this morning, another good brother, I know very well. And he was mentioning to me, we were talking this morning back and forth, and he was saying his fear about people who live stream, it's so easy to get up and go to the bathroom during the message or get up and make popcorn or whatever else you're going to do, and you miss half the message. Be careful about multitasking. It takes you away from the message. It takes discipline to stay in front of that TV. Number four, stream, if possible, stream to your largest screen. It will help you feel like you're really there. Number five, sing along with the music. I know that it might seem weird to you in your house, singing at the top of your lungs, Amazing Grace, but praise the Lord, it's a good way to testify to your neighbors. Amen. But again, it keeps you in the mindset. Number six, hey, preach with the preacher. Hey, yell amen. If you, even during the preaching now, if you're watching this, yell amen, clap your hands, shout if you would. It'd be a blessing. Number seven, bow your head when the preacher prays and raise your hand during the invitation if something speaks to your heart. Even if you want to use one of your couches as an altar, go ahead and do that. Again, you're keeping the regular routine. And number eight, and then make this your new normal during the coronavirus season that we're in. Be consistent in doing all these things. Why? Because, again, God says if you don't do what the regular things he wants you to do, sin lieth at the door. If you're not obeying what God wants you to do and you deviate from what he expects or what he wants you to do to obey him, sin lieth at the door. And then number nine, let me say this. Don't get used to this. When this coronavirus thing is over, the church doors are open for everyone to come back in. Get back in the house of God. I thank God for technology and the ability to have live stream, but live stream never replaces church. So again, these things I mentioned, if you are home live streaming, will help you to keep a regular routine. But in the end, don't get used to it permanently. Get back in the house of God when the doors are opened again. So don't change anything. Don't change your devotions. Don't change coming faithfully to church, even if church right now consists of you watching from your living room. Number two, a second thing to help you, this matter of breathing easy during this difficult time, help keep you focused. Get in the habit. Here's a big one. Get in the habit of thanking and praising God. Get in the habit of thanking and praising God. Look, folks, it's easy to get depressed. It's easy right now to get depressed right now. If you were to take Psalm 150, the six verses, I believe you can break those up into three different ways that you can look at this matter of praising God. I'll say that again. If you took Psalm 150, all six verses, I believe you can break that up into three different ways of praising God. For example, verse 1, look at verse 1 if you would. Praise ye the Lord, praise him in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. The first way in this matter of praising God would be, this first would be where to praise him. Where to praise him. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. The literal translation of this, let me just give you a literal translation of this verse, is referring to God's awesome might and power. That's the literal translation. Sanctuary normally refers to a holy place, like with a tabernacle in the book of Exodus. But here in this verse, sanctuary literally means holiness or sacredness. It's referring to God's holiness or sacredness. Firmament of his power, that phrase literally means expanse of his might or power. So again, literally, the literal translation of verse 1 is referring to God's awesome might and power. But to make an application from this, when I see the word sanctuary, of course, my mind often goes to the house of God or a place to worship him. And if the church house right now is your living room, praise him there. And praise him in the church house. Thank God in the church house. Praise God in your living room where you're having church right now. Thank God for all he's done for you. And also, when I see the word firmament in verse 1, remember, this is where to praise him. Praise him in the sanctuary, the house of God, or in your living room, if that's your quote-unquote your worshiping place now. That when I think of the word firmament, I think of Genesis chapter 1, verse 8, where firmament refers to what God calls heaven, the expanse over our head there. And again, it making the application, which means we can praise him anywhere and everywhere. So where do you praise him? Everywhere. Praise him everywhere, my friend. You'd be surprised how quickly You can get out of a depressed stupor when you start praising Him. It's amazing. It's helped me so many times. So in this matter of praising God, the first would be where to praise Him. The second would be what to praise Him for. So we know where to praise Him. Now the second way of looking at this matter of praise is what to praise Him for. In Psalm 150 verse 2, it says this: praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. So we know in verse 2 what to praise Him. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him for how good He is to you, what He has done for you. Again, this is a great way to stay excited about serving God and the things of God. Man, listen, thank God for your salvation. Every day, thank Him. Every day. Seriously, every day, thank Him for your salvation. Thank Him for your health in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. I praise God that the protection of God's hand, and but people are dying, we understand that. Praise God for His protection on you in this pandemic situation. Hey, thank Him for the country that He allows us to live in, the greatest country on the planet. Amen to that. Praise God for America. Thank God for your family and those who are close to you. Thank God for your church family. Hey, pray for them. This is a great time to pray for each other, folks. You know what was a blessing to me? I sent out a text message a couple days ago. Brother Mike, he had an issue with going to the hospital. And keep praying for him. If you didn't get the results or you didn't hear the text, he is doing fine. The stress test came back okay. He goes in again. They'll probably have to put a stent in, I think is what he said, or a stent in. But he's doing okay. But what was amazing is I just send out about three different mass texts to people when this happens. I don't do it all in one because it kind of gets all jumbled up. So I'll do three different group of texts. I'll break up the church family into three different groupings, make it easier on the phone and technology type of thing. And send out three group of texts to people. And I don't know which group it was, but I told people to pray. And normally, when I tell people to pray, maybe a couple people respond praying. But a couple days ago, when I sent out a text, I must have got 12 or 13 responses from one group. Back and forth, back and forth. I think Miss Marie was making fun of Brother Mike, I think is what it was. But I know we're live across the world here, so I won't mention what Miss Marie said. But but look, I was blessed. People were just back and forth, and what caught my attention, I think we just miss each other, miss our church family, miss you folks. You know, it's so uncanny, this place being so empty, and I'm not criticizing anyone for that, but it's just odd, out of place. You know, the people who sit over here or sit over there, you just miss them. Man, look, thank God for your church family. Hey, thank God for how He provides your all of your needs, all of them. Hey, remember when the toilet paper was empty, when the bread was empty, there was no spaghetti. Remember those days, and praise God, the shelves are restocked. We get toilet paper again, amen, and all that type of thing. I'm not going to mention anything because I'll get myself in trouble. But look, hey, praise God how He took care of us through all of that. I think of Psalm 68, verse 19, which tells us that He daily loadeth us with benefits. And praise God, thank Him for that. Listen, friend, just thank Him. So this matter of praising God, the first is where to praise Him. Praise Him everywhere. The second is how to praise Him. Man, praise Him for everything He's done for you. Again, I know I'm beating a dead horse, but that will help get you excited. It will. Spend some time thanking Him. It's hard to stay down when you're praising Him and thanking Him. And the third thing about praising Him, it would be how to praise Him. Look at verses 3 to 5. Psalm 160, verses 3 to 5. So we saw in verse 1, it's where to praise Him. Verse 2, what to praise Him for. And verse 3 to 5, how to praise Him. Psalm 160, verse 3 to 5, it says, 150, excuse me, verse 3 to 5. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the high-sounding cymbals. I'll stop there. So that kind of tells us, hey, praise Him with music. One way to praise Him is praise Him with music. I cannot stress enough the need to get good, godly music in your homes, friend. It's necessary. There is so much junk beating on us out there in the world. You hear it in the supermarket. You hear it. We were at a place last night doing some things, and the radio was on, and we tried. They couldn't turn it off, type of thing. And in that situation, you just have to deal with it, grin and bear it, and then get into your house, in your car, where there's good, godly music playing. Man, it's a way to praise God through your music. If you want some Christian CDs, I got some good godly CDs in my office. You can have them, seriously. If you're going live stream and you're far away, just send me a text or an email through the church. You can go on the church website and contact that way, and you can tell me you want a CD. I'll mail a CD free of charge. It'll be a blessing to you. Get some music in your car, in your homes. I mean, I love singing hymns like "Come Thou Fount" in my house, or "Our Great Savior," or "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise," or "Crown Him with Many Crowns," or "Power in the Blood." Hey, listen, folks, man, praise Him through your music. Praise Him through that. Be a blessing to you as well as to Him. So get in the habit and stay in the habit of praising God. Folks, we've got to. During this time, you have got to. It's easy to get discouraged. Easy to get depressed. It's easy to forget God. I can't quote the verse verbatim, but I think of people after Samuel, when Samuel was the last judge there of Israel and he dies. And all the people during Samuel's day, they did right in honoring Samuel. But when Samuel died, after that, another generation rose up, which did not know Samuel. It was horrible. And then I think of Joshua, same thing with Joshua. When Joshua went to the Israel there, and God used him to bring the Israelites into the land of Canaan. And same idea there. Joshua dies. And after Joshua dies, another generation rose up. They did not know Joshua. And they went into idolatry, worshiping false gods. Listen, my friend, they forgot about God. It's easy. You can have your Bible in your house and totally forget about it because you don't open this thing up. You can pass church after church in Quincy on your way to work, in the supermarket, and you can totally forget about God. Forgotten. And you can forget about loving Him and praising Him and all He's done for you and protecting you from this virus. Man, you've got to. You have to. It is imperative that you praise and thank God. It keeps your mind focused on Him. So number one, what to do to help you breathe easy. Don't change anything. Keep doing those devotions. Stay faithful in church, whether it's in this church or in live streaming. And number two, get in the habit of thanking and praising Him. And number three, the last thing to do, my last point is simply this. Breathe easy. God is still in control. Breathe easy. God is still in control. Don't forget that. Go to Isaiah 42, verse 5. Isaiah 42, verse 5. Isaiah 42, verse 5. It says this: Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. The purpose of this point, last point, is simply to show you how amazing God is in His creation. Listen, if you understand how amazing He is, it helps remind you that He's still in control of this. He's more amazing and more wonderful and more powerful than all that's going on here in this earth. If you look at verse 5 here, it mentions the fact that He created the heavens. He stretched them out. He spread forth the earth. You see, we can easily spend hours on the topic of creation to show you how amazing God is. And use things like, I can give you many miracles like the sun. If it was any closer to the earth would burn up. If it was any farther away from the earth would freeze up. But let me, if I can, just give you a few things that God has created. And all those things are found in that person that breathes in and out the human body. Let me just give you some miracles of the human body to show you how amazing God is. The human brain weighs about 3 pounds. But if you put all the information that your brain can hold over a 70-year lifespan into encyclopedias, those encyclopedias would stack 442 miles high. A 3-pound brain that God has created can store enough information over a 70-year lifespan to fill enough encyclopedias to go 442 miles high. The messages via nerve impulses that go between your brain and the rest of your body travel at a staggering 250 miles per hour. how amazing God is and how he created us. It is estimated, I'm sorry, I missed one. Your bone marrow produces 8 million new red blood cells per minute. Your body, your bone marrow, excuse me, produces 8 million new red blood cells per minute. And God created that. It's estimated that the average person will walk 77,000 miles in their lifetime. The human heart begins to beat at day 18 of conception and does not stop until you die. On an average day, on a 24-hour period, a heart beats or pulsates 100,000 times and pumps 7,200 liters of blood tirelessly every 24 hours. The roof of your nasal cavity contains nearly 5 million sensory receptors, all being used in the sense of smell. When you smell, 5 million receptors are helping you to aid in that. And speaking of breath, because it was Psalm 150, verse 6, and the whole message is breathing easy. And speaking of breath, the average person takes 17,000 breaths per 24-hour day, and you don't have to think about a single one of them. That's just to show you how amazing God is. So again, the simple point I'm trying to make is, if God made all of that, and he made us, and how amazing and miraculous we are, which is not by evolution, by the way, it's God's handiwork, his creation, he certainly can sustain all of us that as well. He is in control. So in closing, my friend, breathe easy and praise God. He is still in control. And let me close with two more verses, and we'll finish with this. Go to Acts 17, verses 24 and 25. Acts 17, verse 24 and 25. Talking about the fact that God is the creator and he is in control. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Friend, he made the world, he made us, he gave us breath or life. See that? It says here at the very end, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So in response to that, how should we act? Keep worshiping him and going to church, wherever, here at home. Don't change a thing. Get in the habit of thanking and praising him regularly. We've got to do that. To stay upbeat, stay in love with him, stay close to him. And as I said, you can breathe easy because God performed miracle after miracle in creating this universe and everything in it. And he also did a miracle after miracle in creating us. So he certainly can get us through this. Breathe easy, my friend. God's still on the throne. He's still in control. Hope that was a help to you tonight. Let's have a word of prayer if we can. So bow your heads and close your eyes if you would this evening. Again, it's easy, as I mentioned in the very beginning, it's easy to lose focus. All this coronavirus information, we're getting hammered left and right with just websites, text messages, even security alerts on our phone about this coronavirus. And we focus on the God who's in control of that virus. Don't change a thing. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to what he called you to do in terms of staying faithful in your devotions, staying faithful in the house of God. Don't change anything. Understand that God is in control. Therefore, get in the habit of thanking him and praising him. And stay faithful to that. We need that desperately. And don't forget, breathe easy because he's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Don't ever forget that. I'll have a word of prayer when I say amen. Have you all stand. The Lord spoke to your heart. You come use the altar as long as you want tonight. Father, I love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. I thank you for the privilege we have to serve you, Lord. I pray you bless this invitation. We've God's people tonight. I pray you'd help them. I pray that you'd help us be reminded that you are in control. You're still on the throne. And not get caught up in being afraid and panicking. Just trust you. Just trust you. I know things are not normal. A lot of us have lost the normal way of life for some of us. Most of us are home more than we usually were. A lot of us can't go to church like we once did. Certain places, some of us can't go to our place of work because it's closed down. Help us to stay faithful, not get fearful. I pray your blessed invitation. We love you and thank you, Lord. All this we ask in your name. Amen. Would you all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. The Lord spoke to your hearts. You begin to play. Would you come to